For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
I hope so. It's always good for any of us, whether you're a vet or whether you're new, to get some reps, get back into the pregame routine, get back into the feel of what it feels like to prepare, getting ready for a game, all of that. Get into game-like situations, getting hit, hopefully not, but you know, you never know when you're out there. And so sort of the mental gymnastics of that as you prepare going into a game.
With a little Tua Tagovailoa, we say good morning to everybody, man. I'm a little selfish this morning. I'm going to be honest with you. As Omar Kelly joins us, Dave Hyde had his days, and I'm guessing Dave Hyde's done for a while. That morning thing said no. The naps that you're
fine.
Forced to take. You're all
it's,
right
it's
with
fine.
It.
It's
you're
fine.
All right with it.
I went to bed early. I got to be disciplined and go to bed early. So that's
No. I hit the tennis courts yesterday. I cheated. Went out to the tennis courts. Sometimes I'm driving by and I go, camp or tennis? Mm. And I go, I got Omar tomorrow morning. I'm going to tennis. And ugly, nasty sweat. Felt great.
Yeah, no. I'm glad you're healthy enough to get back on the court and do
thing. Thank you, man. Thank you.
That's important. I need to get my life right.
Well, you will. You got to bounce, but you got a lot of stuff going on right now.
Yeah,
this absolutely. Is Omar Kelly from the Miami Herald. Trev's with us again today as well. And I got to tell you, before we get going, because I am feeling selfish, I'm going to tell you why I'm feeling a little selfish this morning. It has to do with sports, so it's okay out there. But our boy, Hollywood, is in Disney World with mm-hmm. the family. So I said, oh, you know, I saw he and Veronica
yes.
and the kids and at a monster truck show.
The monster truck too?
Well, I went to the monster truck show with my grandkids, and he had his kids, so they were there. And our wives got a chance to meet for the first time and everything, and it was packed. But I got to tell you, little Max the monster. You didn't tell me, Max the monster. Now, Leon is like just sits and watches sports and acts like he's 25 years old.
But yeah,
Max is a different animal.
I mean, he
ran all over.
Yeah,
Amaranth.
Yeah, that's what kids do. That's what kids do.
He was flying. And by the way, her patience, as well as being a top notch attorney, incredible. Woody a little bit, but I gave her a standing ovation when we left. I made the whole family.
Age,
yeah,
you have a kid that age. They're everywhere.
The terrible twos, man. You know, we joke about terrible twos. You may get one. There's people out there that have had really. I had kids that have been great, and I've had kids that I remember were a handful. Like, oh my God, and my wife screaming, "You got to help too. It's not just me.
Yeah.
We're both in this." And No, that kid's crazy. You handle that right now, you know, and the whole thing. So, all right. So, getting back to the other stuff, I want to see tomorrow. I want to see a lot of these guys that are slightly banged up. I want to see them. I want to
see
them
work.
I want to see him do some work yesterday for the joint practice.
Okay.
And the second one is, more importantly, Saturday night, I want to see our guys play.
Yeah.
You brought up some. I don't want to see him I'll see him in Tampa Bay. I'd love for him to play a little bit in both games. But
No.
Play at home. Let the fans. Let's let everybody know, hey, fans, Tua and the gang are going to play. Guys that can't play. I know we got some guys still a few weeks away that aren't ready. I think we're starting to get a pretty good feel. You get a real good feel for who's close. And I listen to comments real carefully when guys come back and go, well, we'll see how this thing goes for this last stage and those kind of things. But, yeah, Omar, we got a lot of stuff to get to with all the practices that you've been in, at every day. And joint practice tomorrow, Washington. Of course, the game on Saturday, second of three preseason games. All right, so With all the positive stuff that's going on at camp, led by the coach, Tierre Tart, released. Was he released because of attitude? Was he released because, I mean, effort, conditioning, not making enough plays, or all the above?
I think we're probably pretty much all the above. I don't think it was a matter of making enough plays because the talent was there. It's just, I call it the Jordan Phillips 2.0. It's, you know, some days he wanted to bring it, some days he didn't want to bring it. Some days he wanted to practice, some days he didn't want to practice. And they wanted more. They wanted more consistency,
yeah,
and they just didn't get it. And I remember the last day he was at training camp, they were working him as a five-technique defensive end, and Pelee was starting. And I thought to myself, starting as a nose tackle because Benito Jones is down with an injury. And I'm thinking to myself, like, okay, so Benito's down, and here we are, you know, a practice squad nose tackle is
yeah,
running first team.
Right.
I was like, this is interesting.
Yeah.
And I was like, this
the flag could- went up in that head of yours, didn't it? Like, something ain't looking right here.
Yeah, I didn't make too much of it, but, you know, maybe must have pouted and, you know, made it known that, hey, I'm not happy with what's going on here. And but the team, I mean, this team and Mike McDaniel's team, they rarely ever, if ever, criticize anybody. And I remember I was asking defensive line coach Austin Clark about Tierre because there's talent there. It's obvious that there's talent there. But I was asking him about, you know, have you seen what you wanted to see from him in terms of, and he flat out said, you know, we see flashes,
yeah,
but we need to see consistency.
Right.
And I'm like, alarms went off. And I
think that's, so we get that from some of the coaches, like, yeah, we've seen it at times, you know, we like see it a little bit more, and you're like, okay, that's not all in.
Yeah,
that's not all in for the team. So, and I got to tell you, when guys come with these reputations from other teams,
yep,
it follows you, man.
Yeah. Oh, no, this is definitely
hey, listen,
him.
And even from college, we've had guys that were like, takes plays off, and I'm like, and they got here, and so, they took plays off.
Somebody from FIU told me that, oh, he doesn't come into camp in shape, and he works his way into shape in camp.
And those
myself,
days are done.
I was thinking to myself, yeah, that ain't going to work around here.
No.
No.
So the knock on – not a knock. The thing about today's players versus – we got into all this old school stuff before the last few days. We did have a lot of guys in the offseason. We had such a long camp that did use camp. The first guy I always think of, Bob Kuchenberg. He used camp to get himself ready to go by the time the season, you know, but it was also like a game every day for like 6 weeks. I mean, there was a lot of hitting and conditioning, and he had those guys running gassers. So those guys are like, why, outside of lifting weights, why am I going to like
kill myself? And
these guys stay in a much better shape than
absolutely
we did year round.
No question about
so,
it. And
I don't know how what that has to do with staying healthy or not healthy, and I'm still trying to figure that one out.
Here's the thing about Mike McDaniel, and this is what I'm learning, and this is what I've produced. This is probably the lightest camp I've ever seen in my life, and I've been doing this for 17 years.
I agree. I'm with you.
Now, understand, they've got these GPS trackers on these players, so they know how much they run, they know how much effort they put in, they know their miles per hour speed, they know how many steps they've taken, they know what their heart rate is. So yep, and they know what the norm is. So when you have these things, and that's part of the reason why players don't really like the sport and science element of what's going on in today's NFL.
You think players don't like it?
Oh, they hate it. They absolutely hate it.
All right.
You know, because you can't have a day where you're like, you know, I'm going to give 70% effort today. Because the machine, the trackers tell.
Yeah, right. You look a little slower today. What's going on?
What's going on? Yeah. And there better be a reason why.
Right.
And if there isn't a reason why, then it's like, okay, well, you're not putting forth maximum effort. And that's what I was going to say about Mike McDaniel. While his practices are lighter, and then it you know, it takes a mild tweak of your hammy, okay, we're going to shut you down. And that's just the norm and the consistency. And if you're 30, you're going to go every other day. You know, that's the norm for Mike McDaniel. The one thing that they require is effort when you're out there. And so if a guy isn't putting forth the effort when he's out there and probably has a bad attitude, and I'm not saying that this is – I know this for a fact, but probably has a bad attitude when he is out there as well. Yeah. They don't need you around.
Well, I got to be honest with you. Anybody's got a bad attitude with these practices and Mike McDaniel and that whole thing – you might want to find a new profession. You might want to call some people around the league or been in this league for a long time and find out you don't know how good you have it. He wants to see you go hard. He wants one-on-one. He wants certain drills, 11-on-11s. He wants to see you go if you're in there. But if I hear guys, I would be very disappointed if there's any wine and cheese going on over there for what this guy's not about, hey, let me get these guys a little fired up and let me grind them, see a little attitude today.
No, that's not.
That's not his deal, man. That's not. And by the way, I had a guy that had no feelings for anybody. That's the way we're doing. This is the way we do it. And I'm going to look your face and you better like it. And if you don't like it, you better just keep your thoughts to yourself and keep busting butt, right?
That's not today's age.
No, I got it. Hey, man.
I like that age more, Joe.
Why'd I do that? I don't know why I did that, Trev and Omar. I don't know why I even brought that up.
More old school back here.
All right. No. So what? Listen, we've got a lot of stuff to get to here today, including the offensive line, which, Omar, I feel like through the years, you and I talk way, way too much about the O-line and trying to figure out
how you fix it.
Well, I saw you kind of break down the roster a little bit because we have so much stuff to get to. You know, the last few years, rookie free agents, we've been keeping two.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I was going to ask you here, and we'll get in rookie free agents, wide receivers coming back in this injured room, but more guys coming back. The draft class, I haven't really talked to you about that. And some injured players I'd really like to see towards the end of camp, man. And I'm going to find out what your thoughts are on the guys. And I targeted three guys. I need to see you, man. I know you can play, but I need to see. I haven't given up on you, man. I have not given up on you. You ready for that list?
I am, absolutely.
All right. Mo Camara.
Okay.
I know he's injured.
Yeah, he's injured and he's a rookie. Yeah.
I know, and there's no hurry because he's fine. No, I get it.
He's going to play all
Cam Smith.
He's been out there. He's been out there this week. I don't want to push him too much because I don't want him to regress and set himself back. But now that they
we're in year two, I know you do. He's a second round pick. He's got more time. And you're right.
If Ethan Bonner's better than him, Ethan Bonner's better than him. I don't see the harm in
that.
Can
I give you another name that I'd really like to see? This one's going to surprise you. Anthony Schwartz.
Interesting.
I'll tell you why. Because he can fly.
Yeah.
And I want to see you. But I want to see you run by somebody. I've heard it. Yeah. You've seen it. A lot of us haven't seen. I've seen him wide open catch a couple of post patterns in practice. And when you get that kind of God-given to run at 10 flat 100 meters in high school.
Speed, but is he a receiver?
No. You know what? And they call him a one-in-one guy over there. One drop, one catch. And that's.
I like that. Pretty much, yeah.
I hate to do that too. The
receiver group is, we keep really beating down Mike White and Skylar Thompson, and it's not pretty, and it hasn't been pretty. But I will say, in their defense, it's not all their fault.
Man. I agree.
It's not all their
Nobody's saying. And listen, I saw crossing routes go through hands and down, and a guy slip. And get up and should have been a catch and, balls off their hands. Oh, he fell down. And so I don't disagree with that. You're not going to get me to totally disagree with that. Now, still like to see some more plays when do have a chance.
Absolutely.
Mike. The one thing with Mike the other night, and I'm bouncing back. You got me bouncing all over the place. So Mike's been around the league to know when to slide for a first down.
Oh, you're talking about Skyler, not Mike.
No, Mike White at the end of the game on the late slide.
Okay.
Was short of the first down to keep the drive and just kind of. This is when you're writing your article already at the very end of the game.
Okay, all right, maybe.
I'm sorry. No, and then they get the ball back and, one more chance. But little things like that. But, I heard Mike's stuff and, Hyde, you saw Hyde's article. Hyde's on the Ryan Tannehill thing. Yeah. The Tanny Man, Fort Lauderdale Tanny Man.
I don't want to waste my time.
By the way, he said most people felt that way, and he got mostly that.
Yeah.
No.
If something happens, I mean, we're talking about worst case scenario, and if something happens to Tua, we're playing for a draft pick. Like, Ryan Tannehill isn't coming here saving anybody's season. Mm-mm.
But you don't want, in fairness, I want to know Mike or Skyler can win us games. I don't want to throw the seat if something does happen to Tua. And by the way, it's not, and I'm going to tell you why. Half the league lost their quarterback to got benched. More injuries last year than we've seen. And some teams even had to go to a third guy.
Yeah, some team. Oh, yeah.
Josh third or fourth guy. And some of it was crappy play. Don't go like, this guy's so bad, put the other frigging guy in. But you don't want to have a really good team and have to throw your season in. Mm-hmm. You're like, everything's built. You know, it's hard to do. We've seen the slow build back up to where this team is.
Yeah.
And if for some reason, we got, you know, last year, he stayed healthy. I mean, my God, the other two guys barely got to play except for the Denver game in a blowout. But you need to know that your season is still going to have a
chance. Relevancy.
Yeah. I don't want to do that Jets thing.
Ooh, yeah,
I don't feel bad for him. Don't get me wrong. But you don't want to have that where, oh, the kid's playing. They got no shot, and they know they got no shot. That defense knows they got to be so perfect because that kid can't play.
Yeah.
We got to go to break here. We got a lot of stuff. I'm sorry about that, but I had a lot of coffee this morning, man, before you got here, Omar. But we have a lot of stuff to get to. I want to get back to guard stuff. Don't go away, man. We've got a lot of stuff to get to here this morning. We'll get you caught up on all the news. Omar in the Miami Herald did a breakdown of a little bit of the roster and what it might look like. We'll get into some of that stuff as well. But first, the part of football and sports that we really don't like to talk about, and athletes definitely don't like, and that's sports-related injuries, man. They just suck. But it sure is nice to have Baptist Health South Florida. It really is. People ask me all the time, where do the pros go? And I go, well, enter Miami, the Miami Heat, the Florida Panthers, the Miami Dolphins, FIU, FAU, and a lot of our events down here that we have all trust the great doctors at Baptist Health South Florida. You know why? Because they're really good. Not only the team doctors, but the specialists that they have hired for every part. You can't be a big-time sports medicine program till you go out and hire and recruit some of the best doctors, some of the best specialists in the country. Man, people are coming here because they got some knee doctors that you destroy your knee. It's not over. Not if you're playing sports. Not with those guys. Boy, they're good. Shoulder, foot and ankle, hand, back, hip and knee replacement, and Achilles. Yes, hip and knee replacement and Achilles doctors. Those have become two of the most important and that they see most of the injuries now are hip and knee replacement. So they've got some real good ones. And then on top of that, the Achilles injury has become one of the biggest injuries we see in sports for all different ages. Hey, it's Baptist Health South Florida for a reason. Got great facilities down here, Doctors Hospital and Coral Gables, out at Hard Rock Stadium, right next to the training facility. And, of course, 595 and Pine Island Implantation. All you have to do is visit baptisthealth.net/ortho, set up an appointment. You'll see those same doctors that work on high school, college, and professional athletes every day.
I think it's sort of like a mutual thing. He gets with the leaders, you know, of the team, who guys who have established themselves and guys who have, you know, earned the respect of the guys in the locker room, gets with those guys and, you know, has a conversation with them. And, you know, we come up with, you know, basically the idea of, yeah, we're all playing, or, you know, maybe not this one, or we'll see what that looks like. So, yeah, I mean, you know, hopefully we do get that opportunity. It'll be good because this is our last one at home before we go to Tampa, and then, you know, we actually start the season.
Couldn't have said it better myself, Tua. This is the last one at home before the regular season against Jacksonville. I would love to see you and all the other guys that are healthy out there. I really would. Yeah. I'd like, right, be good for business. Matter of fact, I got another idea. Why don't we let everybody know, like, on Friday? Hey, starter's going to play in this game, and more fans that have season tickets will want to go because they're going to want to see their horses play a little bit.
Even if it's just for a quarter.
It doesn't have to be a lot. People know,
it doesn't
right?
have to be a lot.
Did you see all the people? Omar, did you see all the people? All the quarterback people. All the quarterbacks that played in the first game?
Yeah, I did see it. A lot of quarterbacks played in the first game.
All the first round picks, no surprise there.
I mean, they're young quarterbacks.
You expect that.
But what does Tua have to prove? What does Tua need to do outside of, let's say, develop chemistry with Jonnu Smith and Odell Beckham Jr.? What does Tua have to prove? And Tyreek, Waddle's already injured. Like, so what's the point of putting them out there with – I don't think Tyreek should play in the exhibition season. Jalen Waddle's battling something. I really don't think he needs to play in the exhibition season.
He won't. No. They won't touch him until the gear is back.
Raheem Mostert, Devon Achane. And that's part of my issue when I'm now watching the NFL. Like, let's just go on the first game. Dolphins lost four players to the season in that first exhibition game. Four. Not that they were significant players, but let's just say they were significant players. Can you afford that, Joe, on this team with this roster? Like four.
So it's gotten now to the point that those guys can't play a series or two, but everybody else in the league seems to think it's okay.
I agree with you, but is it worth the risk? Can you?
I don't think about getting injured when I'm out. Like
maybe you don't.
Never heard about injury. No, it's reality. I saw 49ers.
Keon Smith's teammate's helmet hit his knee. Done. And Keon Smith was probably a guy going to make the 53-man roster.
Probably
the last guy on the offensive line. And all it takes is snap of a finger, and his season's done. Can you afford for that to happen to
– Don't you need a little bit
– You do need something.
A full speed.
You do.
Something that looks like a real game. Here's what I'm always concerned about. I'm not the first one to say this. Going from 0 to 60 against Jacksonville.
Okay.
Going from what we're doing right now that you see every day and what it's going to look like when Jacksonville and Miami are going now, all of a sudden, we're no longer jogging around the track, but we're running 100 meters.
People are getting tackled. People are going down, collisions.
Guys got to learn how to fall. There is something to learning how to fall and take a hit and getting low and getting your pads down. Things that these guys been doing a long time, but... You know, and again, this is not old school that I think everybody should do what we did. Matter of fact, our guy was known to have the craziest practices. I still remember guys that I went to college with that were ahead of me coming home from the NFL to get their degrees in the offseason at Cal and telling me, hey, by the way, I saw you got drafted by the Dolphins. Just a heads up, he's got the hardest camp in the league. It's going to feel like a game every day. And it was coming from, like, guys from the Jets, the Atlanta Falcons, and the Denver Broncos. Guys were in the league, and they all knew. And I was like, oh, this is not good.
Yeah.
This is not what I wanted to hear
Jimmy
today,
Johnson,
man.
Johnson used to grind them, too. I remember this being out there for those
but
two
a little
days.
Bit. Yeah. But the other side of it is I'd rather have our guys a little rusty, and the first time you're going to hit them is when it counts.
I saw Teron Armstead yesterday get involved in his first action of 11-on-11s. This is 3 weeks into training camp.
Yeah.
Teron's been out there, you know, in the bubble wrap in case, just keeping him safe and protected.
See him jogging in the back there?
Yeah, he's jogging in the back. Finally got into 11-on-11s yesterday, full action. And all I kept thinking to myself is he going to do this against Washington? And the last time he did a joint practice, he got hurt. He hurt his foot really bad.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't start the season. Is the juice worth the squeeze?
Oh, man.
I know he's going to have to get ready for the season. I know he wants somebody to hit him and he wants to get a little physical. He's not going to do it in the exhibition season. Teron hasn't played in the exhibition season in probably 8 years.
The biggest problem for all these offensive linemen is another guy usually gets beat. And his guy gets shoved, and somebody falls on the back of your legs.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Some guys get lucky.
That's what happened to Keon Smith.
I know. So I brought that one up.
Yeah. I'm not chancing it. Like, I right now, these joint practices, they are more important than the exhibition season for your real players. Like, give you a perfect example. Jalen Ramsey, he was grinding for the first 2 weeks of training camp. He was setting the tone for his team. He wanted to make sure that they got the mentality that we're going to work and we're going to be bullies and we're going to push people around. And he worked – nobody worked like Jalen Ramsey. Okay, that tone was set, and then he got shut down this week. Now, will he be shut down today or tomorrow? Will he participate in the joint practices? I don't know. I don't know if this is injury related or if he's just accumulating his.
Well, that's the other part. We don't know from day to day. Nobody can report because they don't say anything. Like, did he get a little banged up? Mike White, was he a little banged up after the game? So he, got some time off, and then yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. We don't know the situation with Mike White because White hasn't thrown.
I
much.
Just.
You want to see them work.
I do. I'm not saying they need to play a quarter and then the seconds play a quarter and the rest of them play the second half like we've seen. And that was one of the formulas we used to see all the time. But it would just be nice to see those guys out there. And I'm not talking about Tua holding the ball and looking off the safety and throwing a 40-yard strike down the sideline. I'm not talking about that where he maybe, throws and gets hit in the back. I don't want him to do that. That'd be stupid. And then we'd be sitting here talking about Mike McDaniel. Mm-hmm. What happened to him? What's he doing?
Yeah, why is Bradley Chubb playing in the
fourth
quarter?
Down 40?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have those conversations. It's I think that they will get a little run this game, primarily because it's in front of their home crowd and it's in front of their fans, and then they'll do the joint practice in Tampa, and then the Tampa game will be really who wants to make the 53 and who wants to be on the practice squad, and that's really, to me, based on Mike McDaniel's history, that's really what he does. He plays the guys in game two, and then we go into game three. We have a joint practice. You get a lot of work there, and then you shut it down.
Yeah.
And people who want to make the team play in that third exhibition game. And it's an important game for them.
All right, so let's talk about this other thing. We're bouncing around, so we say good morning to everybody. Omar Kelly's with us this morning. The last couple of years, we've had a couple. One thing they've done a great job with is rookie free agents.
Yeah.
Even with small draft classes, we've had some of our best players have been rookie free agents.
Sometimes they're the best player in that draft.
Chris and those guys have done a really good job. In some cases,
Cato Cohu's better than anybody they drafted that year.
Correct. Which, not good.
Yeah.
But to the point, I mean, you cover up maybe what you got. Listen, so far, before this draft, which so far this draft looks great, but before that, our top two guys we drafted the 2 years before have not done anything yet. Nothing.
No.
So, but I want to ask you, rookie free agents, some guys I know Coach likes a lot. I want to ask you, do any of them have a chance to make the team? Ready to go? Storm Duck.
By the way,
Storm Duck was pretty damn good in that game. They kept throwing takeoffs at him, and the Stormmeister was ready to go.
I like him. I think there are three undrafted rookies.
I'm going to hit the rest. So I'm talking
about three undrafted cornerbacks.
Yeah.
Isaiah Johnson.
Maitre. Colbert. They like it. Safety. I don't know what's going to happen there.
Safety's a tough spot. Safety's probably the most competitive spot on the team right now.
What do you do with your sixth-round pick? Just had the game he just had, and you've got all these veterans.
Marcus May looked pretty good yesterday.
Marcus May had an interception, picking it up.
Absolutely. That's a tough one. Nick Needham's in that group as well. I mean,
a guy who can do both. You can't keep everyone,
It's a tough decision, but I got to go with Marcus May. You can't ignore 77 starts. You just can't ignore it. What happens to Jordan Poyer? What happens if something happens to Jordan Poyer and Javon Holland, who are both sidelined right now? What happens? And I think Marcus May, that's why you got to keep him.
You got to keep something.
You can't ignore 77 starts.
I understand experience, but you also, I don't know about your tires. I don't know how many miles you have on your tires, but I got some new tires out there. I feel good about driving to Tampa Bay, and you may have 30 or 40,000 miles on your tires and maybe don't feel good about making that trip to Tampa Bay next week.
That's true. But then do I feel comfortable enough to put – Elijah's the number three safety because he does everything.
I get it. And he mentioned his name. Yeah.
Okay. So then we're going to go – we got to go fourth guy. It's got to be Nick, Marcus May, or the young rookie, McMorris. And – one game is not going to make my 53 with Patrick McMorris. I'm sorry. And I have learned over the years, Joe, I don't worry about if I cut a guy trying to put him on my practice squad and somebody claims him. Oh, well, name me the best practice squad guy you've ever lost, or the best bottom of the roster I got waived that you've ever lost.
Most of those guys end up becoming development or come back like a Benito Jones, go somewhere else, get a little playing time.
Benito might be the best of the guys that you've ever lost. And I'm like, I'm not worried about that. I'll get another shot, another opportunity.
So you're telling me you don't think a very good shot, Storm Duck, Jason Maytree, Will Colbert, or Isaiah Johnson make the team?
No, I can't see how they make the team. Not cornerback and safety are probably two of the positions where you've got the most depth. And I haven't seen anything from any of those guys who says, oh, man, I can't let them go.
You know one problems with the system in general? And we'll talk about Bonner. I didn't mean to cut you off. One of the problems with the system, and this has been around forever, this is not a Mike McDaniel thing. This goes back to Don Shula did the same thing. You draft a guy high. Even if he doesn't show anything, you keep him on the roster.
Absolutely.
Not 1 year, not two.
Maybe three.
Jackie Shipp. You know, Jackie didn't live here in town, so... Jackie Shipp was one of those guys, man. High first round pick. And man, everybody saw they tried him inside and outside because he could run. He was, you know, he did everything. Like, if you just had him work out, he looked like a top 10 or 12 pick. He just couldn't play. Couldn't get off. He made a zillion tackles at Oklahoma when they were a powerhouse. He's running around, make 150 tackles, and we jump on him. That's the guy. He couldn't play. Got here and, you know, was lost. Play action. Releases inside, you're supposed to jam him, oh, shoot. And he was just, you know, he was, they kept him. And we watching Don Shula's about winning, man. And he said, maybe the light will come on. So this is normal. Yeah. So what I'm telling you, some of those guys can be on the team again. Cam Smith, no matter what he does, can be on that 53.
Absolutely. And here's the thing about
what about Cam Tindall, Smith? Who, by the way, had a nice...
His days are numbered.
You think he's on the list to go?
Yeah. I can't see how he makes the team unless he starts to really turn it up. And I think that third exhibition game is going to be his real chance and to showcase himself. He's also got to be good on special teams. And, like, they've got four inside linebackers. They've got four that are locked. A lot of those guys are battling injuries. But Channing Tindall has a chance. But I don't know why. Why should I keep him over Zeke Vanderberg, who is playing better than him? I don't know, because of his draft status? Like, everything should be earned in this league.
I just told you that if we're to go by that, you ain't giving up on your top picks. We're talking about our highest picks in two of those drafts.
It's not fair about Cam Smith from the standpoint. We haven't seen what he can do because of injuries.
I agree.
This isn't like a Noah Igbinoghene situation.
No, I watched
him yesterday. Yeah. Nobody picks on Cam Smith. Nobody goes after Cam Smith. We just haven't had a chance to see him showcase himself in a game because every time the moment comes, he's hurt. He's hurt right now. Like, I'd love to see him stay healthy enough.
I would, too. I said that is one of the three guys
games.
I'd love to see. He's on my love to see you play, man.
Ethan Bonner, to me, has already made the team. And I know he's battling concussions right now. Yeah, he's done. Hey, Ethan's probably there.
What a jump up he's made.
Oh, yeah. But he was always good. He was always – last year –
Wait a sec. I didn't hear you talking about him like this last year.
No.
I mean, you had a little problem with Ethan playing ahead of Cam. I remember talking to you.
That's true. But it was earned. He obviously earned it.
Right.
He obviously earned it. Coaches saw something.
Listen, man, we'll come back. We got a lot of different parts of this thing to talk about, Omar. You know, I mean, my God, let's not waste it all here in this early 6 o'clock hour, especially when we're running a little bit late, and we got to talk about ED and low T. Yeah, I had both. Man, I got to laugh about it because, you know, a lot of guys been laughing at me for being so honest about it. But, man, I can't thank Atlantic Men's Clinic enough. ED and low T, a lot of guys, it starts in your early 40s, 50s, 60s, and you find yourself tired, moody, no motivation to work out, no motivation to do anything. You think more about taking naps, and you just can't figure it out. Why am I so friggin' tired and stressed out and just don't feel like doing anything? I'm even snappy. I'm a young guy, and I feel like a grumpy old man. If you're going through that, there's a good chance that you're also dealing with ED, and only you know that. But if your sex drive is gone or not where it should be, and you know it, and you've had some problems in the bedroom, boy, Atlantic Men's Clinic can take care of all of it. And I had full-blown ED and low T. And I'm not proud of it, but I am proud to tell you Atlantic Men's Clinic sure made a big difference for me. That's all I can tell you. I hope you're getting a little laugh, and, oh, Joe got ED, ED, kid Joe. Hey, listen, man, it's real. And the nice thing about it, everybody's going to get ED sooner or later. And there's something you can do when it does pop up on you. You don't have to worry about it. Schedule a consultation with Atlantic Men's Clinic today. They'll give you all the tests. You meet with their professionals. And honestly, if the test that they give you doesn't work in the office, your visit is free. Six locations throughout South Florida to serve you. 877-455-7300 or visit AtlanticMensClinic.com. Atlantic Men's Clinic works. Set up that first appointment. Find out what you're going through.
Big, big records, 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 records,
All right, welcome back, and good morning to everybody as we continue on here and lost up. Omar Kelly with us this morning. Been busy out there at camp. Started breaking. I knew it was coming.
Yeah.
Breaking down the roster a little bit in the Miami Herald.
2 weeks before decision days. So we got time is clicking. Everybody's got to earn their keep around here.
But see, that's not necessarily true because there's some injured guys that are going to be on the team that may be injured this week, maybe even part of next week.
Yeah,
but
you know their status. You know they're on the team.
What's the latest with
Odell Beckham?
Omar. Yeah, yesterday we have Tua talking about, man, I'd like to be able to throw to Odell a little bit here and get some timing with him because, let's be honest, man. He was our third guy coming in here and also could give those two guys a rest on the outside and all that stuff. And is he close?
I saw him running yesterday, and they were timing him on 10-yard splits. I can't tell you if
he's
close.
I don't know. I have no idea.
I don't know. Neither do they. And
that's kind of a big piece.
I think the chances, if he doesn't be in practice the next week, he's going to speak, in my mind, he's going to begin the year on a PUP and be down for the first 4 weeks. Same thing with Isaiah Wynn. If he doesn't begin practicing next week, you're going to begin the year on a PUP. That gives the team 4 weeks to get you right, put you through a training camp program. Because you can't, here's the thing. You've got, let's say you keep six receivers. How many you need guys that can contribute right away right now, and you got tough decisions to make with Eric Uzukama and Malik Washington.
I almost forgot about that name.
Yeah,
just start practicing a little boy, bit. Wow,
he's a big dude.
He's a big dude.
I can never stop thinking about his rookie season and how well he played in training.
So
camp.
Great in preseason,
and why it hasn't taken to the next level. And to me,
some of it's injury.
Yeah. He had neck injury last year, and then right now he's probably battling some soft tissue injuries, but he's out there on the practice field. He's not necessarily making plays. Braylon Sanders is another guy. He's got tons of opportunity. He's got to start making plays because if not, there's only so many years they can invest in you on the practice
squad. Well, we've seen guys go down, and Braylon has had some opportunities to come back and actually had a few balls thrown to him. So we have seen that. But so to me, if this thing – At the wide receiver position, I know you're breaking this stuff down. I just slide inside, and I see a lot of double tight end, and I see a position's going to be a lot more productive. They're not just going to be blocking in motion.
Yeah,
I see, and I think Mike saw it a little bit. Durham Smythe had some good games towards the end of the year.
Durham and Tua have good chemistry, and I like what I've seen from them. Julian Hill is another guy. Don't underestimate him.
Wow, has he gotten? He's really improved. He's on the jump, the big jump from year one to two.
Absolutely. He's improved. And then Jonnu Smith. What they can do with Jonnu Smith is very intriguing because he's good running the ball as well. And so, you know, somebody said something to me yesterday on Twitter, like, could he handle the Deebo Samuel's role? And I'm looking at it, and I'm watching practice. He did an end around yesterday in practice. A fan put it up on Twitter. I didn't retweet it, but it was nice to see the play over again. I didn't retweet it because I know.
Did you look at his highlights from last year with Atlanta? Did you have a chance?
Yes.
They threw some screens out wide to him. He broke one and just outran.
Oh, no, he's great at screens.
Everybody, he can really run. I don't know how fast
really
he is,
run.
But he ran away from the whole secondary and a long screen to the outside.
He's like a big back. And he's got feet, he's got hands, he's got run after catch.
But I'm not worried about my, like, so anybody trying to get creative, like, it's a waste of time for you to do it out there, because nobody's more creative than that dude that's a head coach. He's already thinking, you're kind of giving that. Nobody, that guy is constantly, he comes home at night before dinner, and he's thinking about Jonnu Smith and how I can get him the ball and give him a chance. That's what this guy does.
Jonnu, to me, is the number three weapon on the team. Outside of the backs in the running game. But behind Tyreek and Tua, I mean Tyreek and Waddle, there's Jonnu Smith. And I'm interested to see how, because he's not a guy who practices every day. He practices every other day for whatever reason, soft tissue injury, age. He's on the maintenance program. But he's been going every day. And those Tanner Connor plays, like Tanner Connor's really had a really good camp. And a lot of those plays that Tanner Connor has made plays on, in my mind, have been the Jonnu Smith plays. And now we're actually
there's another guy, because of his great athletic ability, this team has been super patient with.
Yeah. No.
This year three.
Yeah, but we're talking about an undrafted guy. And I think Tanner is a really
good. He's a freakish athlete. He's a track guy out of Idaho State. I don't care where you're a track guy. You're a track guy on a college team anywhere. You can do. I mean, you can run a little bit.
Yeah, he's not where Julian Hill is, but Tanner is a guy that you don't want to give up on, and you want to invest in. I've seen enough to say, okay, if he is cut, if he doesn't make the 53, that's one of the tougher decisions for this team. And while I admit I don't worry about cutting a guy and somebody else claiming him, because it is what it is. I like what Tanner does. I like what he brings. And now, if they're going to use Jonnu in that role, great. But you also got to have another guy who could do that role.
But, so we're,
and I don't think it's not Julian and it's not Durham.
We're trying to figure ways to improve on last year. And mm-hmm. and we come back here in the 7 o'clock hour. I want to talk to you about some of the things, because Raheem, Achan, and Tyreek can't be more productive. Nobody was more productive as a trio than they were. The amount of touchdowns and what they did last year, I've looked it up, so don't worry about looking. If you're looking for somebody, three guys that had more production as far as touchdowns, those three are all double-digit dudes, and that doesn't happen. Two running backs and a wide receiver, all double-digit. You'll get one, sometimes two. We got three, and one guy played a half a damn season. So, but we are talking about more production to balance it, where we don't depend on those three guys to be so heavy set with those. So we'll talk more about that coming up here in the 7 o'clock hour with Omar Kelly. But first, want to talk to you about hurricane season. Oh, man, we're in the middle of it. Yeah, you see them curving out to the Atlantic and going to the Gulf Stream and curving in, curving out. You never know when the big boy's going to hit us here in South Florida. There's only one thing you can do, and that is to take care of your home. Make sure you've done everything possible for hurricane season, for the winds and the rain. And boy, Loctite says, Chev always reminds me, hey, we are in hurricane season. And if you don't have your impact windows, doors, and your roof is a little leaky, he wants to let you know, not only would they love to do it for you and take care of everything, but they got some great programs for you. 100% financing, zero down on impact windows, doors, and roofing. Impact windows, doors, and roofing, no interest, no payments for a year, if that will help you. Impact windows as low as $3 per month per window installed. Roofing material, they do it all. Well, what a great part of the company, that roofing part of it. Tile, shingle, metal flat, they do it all for you. Cover all of South Florida. Hey, don't wait for the big storm. If you're going, well, maybe we'll go one more year. Maybe I can just get through this one. Loctite says, hey, man, we're ready to come out. Call us. Find out what we can do for you right now. Loctite services all of South Florida, Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach County. Loctite takes care of all the permits, HOA approvals, so you don't have to worry about any of that stuff. Loctite is a licensed insured contractor. Here's the phone number. If you're starting to look around, tell them Joe Rose said to give them a call. Say, matter of fact, you want to talk to the big boss. 954-500-LOCK. 954-500-5625. Hey, if you've been thinking about it and you're going, oh yeah, I was going to do that this week, and oh, I was going to do it today, call Loctite, have them give you an estimate, find out what they can do for you, let them come out and get started so you don't have to be stressed out during hurricane season.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.